Do you like the idea for Justice for None?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you have a better title?
No, that's fine.
I thought about that on the way home from the movie.
Is that why we're doing this episode?
No, the reason we're doing this episode is at the end of that movie review, I was saying there's something else I wanted to say, and I remembered it later. Oh, and so okay. I'm basically doing this to get one more point in, so now I just made up a countdown for us.
Oh.
So you have 5 things at least?
No.
Do you have 10 things?
I don't have them numbered at all.
Just random thoughts.
Random thoughts.
All right, no problem.
If you want me to count down, that's fine. I might stop at 3. I might stop at 2. Might get to -4. We'll just have to see. I have no notes written down.
Okay.
But I'm prepared to talk about...
I have a lot of notes.
Okay.
I'm very prepared. All right, here we go. Episode 605, Justice League. Wait, you should say the Justice for None. I think it would be fun to say okay. it together.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Episode 605, Justice League.
Justice for None. Especially those of us who paid for our tickets.
Here's another movie review, everybody. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Ben DiVono, and we are here to pile on to one of the worst movies of the year. But not the worst. That's still Dark Tower.
Wait a second.
Dark Tower is a worse movie than
I don't agree.
Oh, hands down. It's not even close.
I've actually been ranking the movies I've seen in the theaters and where they would land. Do you have anything like that on your
I don't Letterboxd? Have anything like that, but I could tell you here. Off the top of my head for what I've seen in 2017.
I'm going to in reverse order, movies I've seen in 2017.
That all right.
So Power Rangers was the worst movie I've seen in the theaters.
Fair enough.
Then Justice League.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman.
No, Dark Tower is worse than both Justice League and Wonder Woman by a lot.
I had a better experience watching Dark Tower.
Oh, I just brought up your list. Yep. I'm going to be angry here in a couple seconds.
Why?
Keep going. Keep going.
Well, my next one is, you want me to read them all?
Yeah.
I've only seen 11 movies, so here we are in reverse order. 11, Power Rangers. 10, Justice League. 9, Wonder Woman. 8, War for the Planet of the Apes, which I liked, but if I'm ranking them, it would be at the bottom. Number 7, The Dark Tower. Number 6, Dunkirk.
Oh, so these must be some really great movies ahead of Dunkirk.
Number 5.
Because boy, was Dunkirk great.
Number 5, Sing, a movie I enjoyed with my little 2-year-old daughter.
Then Dunkirk?
Yeah, definitely enjoyed that experience better than watching Dunkirk with you. I was just mad. Just let me set the stage.
But I was enjoying Dunkirk. I wasn't even complaining.
No, it's not that. My wife was on maternity leave with our brand new baby back in January. I took my then 2-year-old on a daddy-daughter date. We saw Sing, had a great time. Number 5.
No, see, this is the problem, is that you can't divorce the movie from your experience of seeing it.
It is pretty hard for me to do that. The experience makes...
Dunkirk is a better movie than Sing.
It is probably objectively better.
Yes. Okay.
But I enjoyed Sing more. Then to round up my list, 4, Thor, Ragnarok. 3.
Better than Dunkirk.
3, Batman, Lego Movie.
Which I did see.
The Lego Batman movie.
And it is not in any way, shape, or form a superior movie to
Number
Dunkirk.
Number 2, Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. My favorite movie I've seen in the theater this year. So, all that to say... Justice League was my second least favorite movie I've seen in the theater. And I think I'm just going to keep all the talk we had at the beginning before we actually said the episode number.
Oh,
because you were asking me why did I want to do this episode? I've got additional thoughts.
Right.
And you have some additional thoughts.
Yeah, I do have some additional thoughts.
So let's start not deep because I've got some deep thoughts for the end.
Okay.
We talked about some theological stuff, but let's just quickly hit some minor complaints. So go ahead. Why don't you kick us off?
Okay, well, I'll start with a couple complaints that I actually occurred to me listening to another review.
Okay.
So I was listening to Red Letter Media's review, and they brought up a couple things that I thought were really good points. So number one, in terms of the look of the movie, is that by lightening everything up, it made, Zack Snyder designed the looks of these characters for a specific lighting style.
Sure.
And the costumes look goofy when they're... There's something about it that looks unnatural when they're brought into full daylight. Now, you might prefer these characters shot in daylight because it's not so gloomy and dark, but it just doesn't work as well. There's something that looks off, and it's because those characters are not designed for that setting. As soon as they said that, I thought, yeah, that's totally right. Number two, and this is a biggie, and maybe this actually goes all the way back to Batman v Superman. Superman is an alien, an invincible alien, and he's buried in a random cemetery. Like, how does that happen? How does the government not have his body? He's not only buried in a cemetery, but two guys are able to go dig up his body in the middle of the night with a shovel. Like, think about that. This is the most... This is an alien. Alien life has visited Earth, and it dies, and they just bury it in the cemetery.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's so stupid.
All right, I've got some dumb things. We know that they cut this movie to as short as possible. The yes. Warner Brothers executive
shorter.
Said it has to be 2 hours or less than 2 hours. So they made it an 1 hour and 59 minutes. However, for some reason, they kept a bunch of random scenes with this Russian family that they kept going back to. And me and you have made fun of this together a lot, but I don't think we mentioned it on our past review show where there's lots of stuff that didn't make any sense about this. First, why did they keep going back to them and wasting time with these people only to have the payoff be that Flash would eventually push their truck?
Yeah.
Secondly, every scene we saw of them, their house is being attacked by the parademons, which we've seen killing everybody for the whole movie. But for some reason, it takes them days to get into this house and they eventually just give up.
Right.
And they never get to them. But if you're trying to cut down this movie, and we know that there were a ton of things on the cutting room floor. Just today, Jason Momoa had said a bunch of the stuff with Atlantis was cut out. And even this reviewer, the person that was writing this article, acknowledged what you had said, which is it made that whole scene unclear. People didn't know what was happening. And I talked to another person, my friend Reggie, who also wasn't familiar with the Aquaman background, didn't know what he was even talking about when they were talking about his mom and
I had no
the royalty thing. Yeah, so yeah, they cut things out that would have made the story make more sense, but decided to keep... I think there were about, would you say, four scenes where they went back to this family?
Yeah, keeps going back to this family.
It got laughable, basically.
Yes. I'll piggyback on that a little bit and say that there's this weird element in the movie where it's supposed to be this apocalyptic end-of-the-world storyline, but yet there's three people in danger from Steppenwolf in this movie. It's this family, and then there's this one random apartment building. Yeah. And so it's this weird feeling of that they want to simultaneously sell you on this is the stakes are the end of the world, but it never feels that way. It feels like there's about a dozen people in danger in this movie. Now, I'm fine with a small scale because I'm sick of the end of the world stuff. Mm-hmm. Like to compare it to another movie I didn't like. I didn't like Age of Ultron, and I didn't like the end of Age of Ultron, but you at least at Age of Ultron, it was I'm rolling my eyes because we've seen this 100 times, but you had a sense that they're going to drop this stupid city and it's going to cause problems. And it had a big scale to it. Mm-hmm. It was stupid and boring, but it had a big scale. This was, it's the end of the world, and five Russian people might die. And then they also had that whole thing, like Age of Ultron made the big deal of, we're going to go save civilians, which was kind of dumb, because you really want to stop the end of the world rather than save a dozen people. But at least there's a lot of civilians to save. Superman does the same thing here, where he rushes off to go save civilians as soon as he finally shows up. And you even leaned over to me in the theater and said, Superman's failing to see the big picture. It's like, this is true. If the stakes are the world and one Russian family dies, I'm sorry, but that's a price we'll have to pay.
Exactly. I mean, all we saw him do was pick up an apartment building, which, yes, it's a great feat, but it's as if they made the joke more important than the actual story, because they resurrected this guy to beat Steppenwolf. He comes in, and I don't know if we mentioned this, so maybe this is a repeat, but in my Letterboxd review, I said that Superman could have easily beat Steppenwolf alone.
Yeah.
So in the Justice League movie, they're useless, basically.
They are completely useless.
And so Superman comes in, punches Steppenwolf a few times. He's about to beat him, but he's like, you know what? I think I hear some people needing help. But if he just stops them, he saves all the people.
Yeah, he would have saved everybody.
Yeah. So that was a problem. But, I mean, you gotta like Superman. It just didn't make him look too smart.
No, nobody looks very smart in this movie.
Now, this is not a complaint, but we didn't mention, and I think it's worth mentioning, that in the flashback scene that reminded me of a Lord of the Rings scene, kind of towards the beginning of the movie, we see a Green Lantern.
Yes. This was dumb. It's not that dumb that they showed Green Lantern.
Okay.
It's dumb that they showed him and then he wasn't in the movie, because what they sell us on at the beginning of this movie is that Steppenwolf is such a big threat, mm-hmm, that it's not just people from Earth showing up to fight him. it's the Lantern Corps, so it's across the galaxy.
Yeah, so they've got gods. So you see Zeus and others. They've got the Amazonians or Amazons.
Yeah.
You've got all of Atlantis. You've got the Green Lanterns.
So why don't, if Steppenwolf is back, the Green Lanterns have obviously been invested in this. Everyone else has been watching for him. The Amazons have been watching for him. The fish guys have been watching for him. And they should have just cut the Green Lantern scenes out if they weren't going to do them in this movie. Because it doesn't make any sense the Green Lantern doesn't show up in this movie.
Given what they said. If you look at that scene, again, it felt just like Lord of the Rings. If you look at that scene, it takes not one army, maybe four armies to drive this guy back. But in Justice League, you've got a bunch of humans and Superman and Wonder Woman.
Right.
But still, and really, I think we can agree, Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, especially Flash and Cyborg, they did not help really at all.
Well, Cyborg probably helped the most after Superman because he got the boxes to separate a little bit.
But basically, Superman probably could have done it alone.
Yes.
So where were all the other armies? So just one guy did what it took armies to do in the
Superman's not supposed to be more powerful than a god.
Well, is Steppenwolf a god? Or are you just saying
compared to the first battle where they had gods show up?
Yeah, so can Superman beat Zeus?
Apparently so.
And the entire Green Lantern?
He can beat anyone except Doomsday.
Yes.
He could have just let go of the sphere. But
do you mind if I just mention one more Green Lantern thing? Yeah. I don't know what this means, and this is all speculation. But in one of the early posters promoting Justice League, it was a photo of Aquaman holding his trident. I think it was the first time we saw him in costume. And it had the catchphrase, "Unite the Seven."
Right.
And eventually it just became Unite or All In. And it became that kind of verbiage when talking about the Justice League. So if you count up who's in the Justice League, there's only six members counting Superman.
Right.
So what does Unite the Seven mean? Did they think Green Lantern was going to be in this movie originally?
I want to come back to that because I think that I have a lot to say on what the studio did to Zack Snyder's vision, not just in this movie, but I want to come back to that after we're done with quick hit.
Let's just do it right now.
Well, I've got a couple more quick hits.
Okay, go ahead.
So, number one, why when the parademons die do they leave three boxes showing with their goo on the back of the wall?
Well, did they just that one time or every time?
No, Batman was like, they did it again. But why would they do it any time?
Yeah, they don't have the mother boxes in them.
Why when these species die do they leave a picture of the mother boxes behind? So I know that's nitpicking, but it's stupid. The more significant one is that so Steppenwolf has been biding his time until Earth is in total despair. And apparently it's the death of Superman that puts Earth in total despair, even though nobody liked him. Everybody was afraid of him in Batman v Superman.
And
why does his death plunge the world into despair?
Also, Superman had only been on Earth for about 30 years.
Right.
So,
and was not out and about most of that time.
And Steppenwolf had gone away thousands of years ago. So they're basically saying nothing was bad until Superman showed up and died.
He should have chosen the Holocaust.
That would have been a better
Superman
died. So this actually brings me to a point where you have this argument scene between Wonder Woman and Batman. They're trying to decide, should we resurrect him or shouldn't we? And Batman goes into this long speech about how Clark's one of the best men I ever met. he says he's more human than I am.
Right.
And then if you really step back and think about it, they were friends for like 5 minutes.
His mom's name was Martha.
Yeah.
And so was mine.
They were friends for just a few minutes before Doomsday killed him. So we have no reason to believe that Batman or Bruce Wayne thinks highly of Clark Kent.
They don't know each other.
No, they don't even know each other. And all he knew about him in the last movie was he wanted to kill him.
Right.
So
that's it.
I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's where this whole series of movies has been a mess. And I think it's been a mess. I'll give you my, I'll launch into my, what Zack Snyder's original vision was here. Now, I'm going to largely defend Zack Snyder here.
Mm-hmm.
But let me preface that by saying there are things in these movies that Zack Snyder is 100% at fault for. So things like Lex Luthor's portrayal, things like Superman or Man of Steel going from an intelligent and thoughtful take on the character to 40 minutes of Transformers, things like the Martha scene. So there's stuff that Zack Snyder has things that he is at fault for.
Mm-hmm.
100%. But here's what I think his original vision was. I think Man of Steel finishes, and it wasn't announced until quite a bit later that they were going to do Batman v Superman. I bet you that that was the studio pushing, we need to have a team-up movie, mm-hmm. we need to have a team-up movie. I bet the original plan was, we're going to do Man of Steel 2, we're going to have a solo Batman movie, and then from there, we'll move into Batman v Superman. Because one of the flaws in Batman v Superman, one of the big flaws, is it feels like you have five scripts tossed randomly in the air and reshuffled.
Yeah, we've said before, it feels like there is a Man of Steel 2 in there.
Right.
But there's other things happening along with it.
Exactly. So I think that's what happened with Batman v Superman. And then from there, and we discussed this a little bit in our initial review, but then I thought about it some more, and it really makes sense what the original vision was for Justice League. Because originally it was going to be Justice League's part one and two. Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely right with what you said, that the original plan was that Superman's going to be resurrected, but go bad. Mm-hmm. And he's going to go bad, and the bad guys will actually win in the first movie, and Darkseid will show up and take over. And that's what we saw in that weird vision sequence in Batman v Superman. And then I think what we would have seen is that we would have kind of had a Days of Future Past thing going on during Justice League 2, where Batman has to, he sends flashback in time with that message.
Well,
he tells him Lois is the key.
Wait, you're reading this from my Letterboxd review. This is exactly what I wrote yesterday.
I don't remember reading that part in your Letterboxd review.
Yeah, so, if you look at, go load up my Letterboxd review. I got it right here. So if you go back and look at Batman v Superman, there's two hints to where Justice League Part 1 was going to go.
Right.
You've got what Ben was just talking about with the Flash going back in time. And like Ben was just stealing from my thoughts.
Oh, you did say that there.
Like Flash had said, Lois is the key. But he isn't able to say key to what. And then Flash says, I came back too early. So Batman has no idea who Flash is or what this message even means.
Right.
But we do get a hint that Lois is the key, because she's what they use to snap Superman out of this. So I think what would have happened is Batman would have got this message or figured things out in Justice League Part 2 using Lois to bring Superman back to his humanity. Because what I imagine would have happened is, if you look back at the nightmare scene where Batman's in the desert, I think we would have actually seen that scene again or more of it leading up to that. And then this is maybe how Justice League 1 ends with... We've seen the scene. Superman has Batman in chains. We see the huge Omega symbol, and Darkseid is there.
Now it's still kind of dumb that Lois Lane, he just don't you remember Superman? That's still kind of dumb.
I think it would have been drawn out more.
There could have been more to it.
But yeah, that idea that Flash went back and told Batman Lois is the key, it lines everything up.
Yes. So all this is to say that Zack Snyder is a very flawed director. And I'm not saying that these would have been great movies, but he had a pretty cool vision, I think, that you can piece together where he was going to go from Man of Steel. And I think what you see in Batman v Superman is that vision is completely compromised and shuffled together. About three movies are shuffled together, and it's a mess. In Justice League, that vision's just thrown out the window. And you can catch little snippets of it here and there, like with Superman coming back, but then he's cured in 5 minutes and it's not interesting. But Zack Snyder had an interesting take that he was going to do over the course of about five or six movies. And it might have sucked, but it would have been like, if you're going to hire somebody, you got to let them go with it. And I think the studio deserves the bulk of the blame for both Batman v Superman and for this, not Zack Snyder. So I'm defending Zack Snyder.
I know, and I want to defend him as well. I have some additional thoughts about what he was doing. And, in my review, I'd mentioned, this is my Letterboxd review, not our podcast review, that, there's things we like about him, things we don't like about him. But one thing that was at least interesting that he was trying to do was drop in this theological, philosophical discussion. He had allusions throughout Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. We know, and I don't have it in front of me, I was going to look this up. Maybe if you have a second, if you Google original titles for Justice League, the movie, I believe one of them was Gods and Monsters or something like that. It was going to be like Justice League, Gods and Monsters. Anyways, he's all along had this idea that, what's the world, what do people do when they find out that there are actually superpowered beings in the world? And what does that mean for people's religion and their moral beliefs? So... I, you know, we saw tons of stuff in Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, but then very little here. The only theological allusion you could draw out of Justice League was the fact that Superman was resurrected the same way that Jesus was. But other than that, which, well, I mean,
not quite the same way.
No, not quite the same way. Other than that, we really lost what Zack Snyder was doing when it comes to some of those deep theological issues that I was enjoying seeing him put on screen.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Injustice? Because the subtitle of Injustice was Gods Among
no,
Us.
No, you talk for a second. I'll find. Okay. I remember reading this list a while back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... If you look at Man of Steel, and the whole Jesus illusion wasn't exactly subtle in that movie. And so you can fault Zack... Like, I don't have a problem with somebody saying, I don't like Zack Snyder because it's that blunt, and it's that it beats us over the head with it. And I think that's a fair criticism. But it's there, and it's interesting, and he's trying to do something thoughtful. And I'll take that attempt, that flawed attempt, over just the dumb, stupid, watered-down action that we got 10 times out of 10. And that's where I still will defend, and I like those first two-thirds of Man of Steel, because I think you can go through and poke holes in it at some point and say it would have been better if he had done this or he'd been more subtle here. But he's trying to do something interesting, and we don't get that with superhero movies. Right.
Yeah, listen to this. I mean, I think these rumored titles really let you know where he was going with the movie. So the first one is bland, Justice League United. But now listen to these next ones. Justice League, Angels and Demons.
Yep.
Justice League, Gods Among Us. Justice League, Gods Among Men.
Right.
Like his whole, since Man of Steel, his whole idea has been, what does the world do with superpowered beings? Are these our gods?
Right. And yeah, he might not have been the right person to flesh out that theme, but at least he would have tried.
Right, exactly.
And that's an interesting idea. Like if we're going to have superhero movies, let's do some interesting things with them. And that is an interesting road to go down. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think Zack Snyder is a flawed director, but I don't think he deserves the blame for either of these last two movies. It's certainly not for this one, and not to the extent that he's gotten for Batman v Superman.
So, looking ahead, I think it's safe to say this is Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman.
I think so.
The movie underperformed. I mean, when I throw out this number, $94 million opening weekend, that's great for a lower budget film, but not for one that costs like $300.
You and I made a movie.
Yeah. You know, this one cost $300 million. It was projected to make $110 million for our opening weekend, not even close. So, Ben, I mean, not that money is the only thing that controls this, because Ben Affleck clearly doesn't want to be in the role anymore.
Right.
We know that Flash is going to have a movie coming up called Flashpoint eventually. It's not technically on the schedule, but they've announced it. And this storyline, Flashpoint, is known for being a time travel multiverse story. So are they going to use Flashpoint to explain how Bruce Wayne became a younger, different actor? Or are they going to just recast him and ignore it?
Matt Reeves said they're just going to recast and ignore it.
Okay. And you feel like, so they're going to recast for the trilogy, the Batman trilogy, and then will that Batman that's under Matt Reeves' helm, that's not the right word, but under his movies, will that Batman be the new Batman for the Justice League?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they will do their best to sweep everything but Wonder Woman under the rug at this point.
No, I don't think they're not going to recast Flash and Cyborg and Superman.
No. But I mean, in terms of the continuity of the movies,
okay,
I think they'll more or less forget about these movies.
Oh, it's like their practice.
Yeah.
Like their millions of dollars of practice.
We tried.
Yeah. So any closing thoughts in? Ben Affleck's done. Next up is Aquaman, December 2018. Followed up by Wonder Woman, spring 2019. And then Shazam supposedly is in later 2019.
Yeah. Chuck Zam. I don't know. Like, I just find myself completely baffled by the people who are giving this movie 4 and 5 stars. Like, I get that, you know, for people who have an attachment to the characters, it's fun to see the characters on screen, but you deserve better than that. Like, if you're such a big fan of these characters and you've been waiting for years to see Aquaman or the Flash on the screen, I get that, but you deserve better than that. You should have high enough standards for the things you love where you're not just satisfied with crap. And I think that's one of the things that bugs me with pop culture. So many people are just satisfied with crap. And, you know, don't have fun with things that are not fun. Have standards. feels good to have standards.
I found two small notes.
Okay.
One barely deserves mentioning, but I'll just mention it since I have it here. They did say the name Darkseid once, but they never mentioned Apocalypse. The only reason I think that's noteworthy is the Apocalypse is the planet they were trying to terraform Earth into becoming.
Oh.
So I think it would have been interesting to have that word in there, but not the end of the world. Second note, can you think of, and I know you didn't like this movie, but can you think of at least a favorite scene from the movie?
No.
So you didn't
the
have...
credits. The end of the credits.
The end credit scene.
The end of the
with
end credit
Deathstroke.
Scene. No, I didn't like that scene. I didn't like anything in this movie. There was nothing I liked in this movie. And you're not going to force me to be positive about it.
No, that's, if you don't want to, that's fine. I think if I was looking at just the movie, I don't think there's any favorite scene that sticks out.
Right.
I'm intrigued by the end credit scene with Lex Luthor and Deathstroke.
I don't want to see any more Jesse Eisenberg Lex Luthor.
Oh, I didn't mind him. Remember, I didn't mind him the way you did. Oh. So I'm intrigued by that. And so it's weird, but I almost feel like that does have to be my favorite scene. But think about this. This is... I don't think you were the person I was talking to about this, but if you look at Iron Man 1,
yep.
they invented the post-credit scene not because they're trying to start something new, but because they didn't know that they were going to, for sure, that they wanted to move forward with this Avengers initiative.
Right.
So they had a great film just by itself, no post-credit scene. Then they put it to audience reviews before the actual release. And after those got positive review, or after that movie got positive reviews, they realize, okay, we can do this plan. Everybody likes Iron Man.
Right.
And then they stuck it at the end. And so it only exists. That whole concept of a post-credit scene never existed to tease the next movie. It more existed because they weren't sure their plan would work unless Iron Man was good.
If only.
And now people, not just Marvel, not just DC, but tons of movies do post-credit scenes.
I know.
Because it feels like that's the thing to do. So what if they just... What if everyone just stopped doing post-credit scenes and just put what you want in your movie?
You sound like me. This is what I've been saying this for years. And you've been arguing with me. No, they're fun. Are you coming around that you're sick of fun? Are you as sick of fun as I am?
I like fun, but I do
down with fun.
I do like. It's weird for me to say I can't think of one scene I liked in the real movie. But the post-credit scene was sort of intriguing, but it's not part of the movie.
Right.
It's just something that they could have decided right before the release to not include.
And the scene itself isn't anything special. I think what's intriguing is the possibility of what's next.
Right.
And that's what all these cinematic universes
I used to watch. I used to watch 24 really regularly, and I started to realize I actually like, because I watched it live on Fox before Hulu was a thing, I used to really look forward to the preview of next week's episode.
Right, that's what you like.
Where they would show all of the really cool things that are coming up. Eventually, by the time it got to me watching Lost, I would not watch those because I didn't want to be spoiled. But I think this is a thing that's been in popular culture for a while where you have the episode and then it's not a post-credit scene, but it's like the tease of what's next.
Right.
And there's something about that that draws you in and makes you want to come back for more.
Yeah.
But what if people just what you actually got?
Well, I think it's up to us, the consumers, to stop waiting through the credits.
Yeah, but that's not going to be something that they can judge
it
numerically.
The internet will come. People, everybody gets up and leaves.
Yeah, but what kind of metric would there be to say they're losing money? They're not losing money,
but if they realize, wow, people aren't sticking around for these anymore, let's just stop doing them. You know, and so I think it starts with you, Matt. It starts with you.
All right.
You are the change you've been waiting for. Go and get up. So next time we see a movie together, we're getting up. We're not sitting.
I can't
the
promise that, but I do. I like your thoughts.
See, this is like, what if people stop shooting up with heroin? And then I say, well, how about you stop shooting up with heroin, Matt? They're like, I can't promise that. I can't promise that. See, that it's the exact same thing.
Well, everybody, I think it's time to close this out. Any last thoughts about Justice League?
I hated it. Don't see it.
And just since they're listening to a new episode, we'll give our ratings one more time. I gave it a 1.5 star out of 5.
I gave it a 1.
And following.
Yeah.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I mean, the camera wasn't focused, so you've got to give it that. I'm Ben DiBono.
Now we are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing out.
Goodbye. You didn't see the boom mic in any shots. So yeah, solid one star.
So even though I told you that I would rate Power Rangers as worse than Justice League, according to my rating, my star rating, I actually gave Power Rangers 2.5 stars.
Whoa.
Compared to, but I, as I ranked them just out of what I think I would have liked, I put it last.
That's really high.
So is it possible that Power Rangers is better than Justice League?
Probably not, but I mean, you sometimes, you were sitting there with Kobe, and you were probably feeling good about it because you knew that he loved Power Rangers.
So, who knows? I guess that's up to you, the listeners. Which movie did you think was better, Justice League or Power Rangers?
So
get back to us at feedback@thesatfirechristian.com.
I've only given a half star rating to two movies, and one of them was just because I was grumpy.
Okay.
So the first one, which I was unfair to, well, I didn't like the movie, but it's not this bad, is Marnie by Alfred Hitchcock, and I was just feeling crabby when I was writing my review. And so I gave it a half star just because I was like, I don't want to give it any stars. The second one is Armageddon.
Oh.
I gave that a half star.
You hate this movie.
Yeah.
I don't really get why this movie specifically is one that you hate so bad. I know we've talked about it before, but I don't hate that movie.
Have you watched it recently?
Not recently.
It makes no sense.
Okay.
And it's not just dumb fun. It's that it wants you to think that it's really cool.
I think you're mad because it's in the Criterion Collection.
I am mad about that. That's true. And that's why I had to watch it. Like, I own this movie. I own Armageddon.
Hey, I saw that the Criterion movies are going to be on sale this week for Black Friday.
Well, they've been on sale this whole month at Barnes & Noble for half off.
I know. I wonder if I should get some.
You should get some.
I don't know which one, though. How do I know which ones to dive into?
You want
to
see Late Spring? There you go.
Should I go pick it up?
Yeah.
Maybe I should borrow it from you first.
You should probably borrow it from me.
All right.
Not Armageddon. But yeah, Armageddon. Like,
yeah, that's a great idea. I should get Armageddon. My first Criterion movie. Oh, that would be such a good idea. That would be such a good idea to do.
That makes me so angry.
All right. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's just like they have Aerosmith singing that cheesy song. Like, he's singing while Ben Affleck is opening his daughter's shirt. It's like the creepiest, weirdest
Actually,
thing.
Actually, that is kind of weird.
That is really weird.
Because the actress in that movie.
Yeah, Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter.
Oh, that is kind of weird.
Yeah,
I never thought about that
before. Jumping on her with the animal crackers.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's so uncomfortable. I hate that movie so much. It's not even dumb fun. It's just bad.
All right, let's close this out with a few announcements. Everybody, okay. Go to thesatfirechristian.com. Right now, we need you to go vote on our poll. It's just right on the right-hand side column. You'll see it says The Sci-Fi Christian End of the Year Ballot. And this is for our End of the Year Listener Appreciation Jubilee. It's where you, the listener, get a chance to vote on different things, such as Episode of the Year, Countdown of the Year, Movie Review Episode of the Year, lots of different things. You also get to pick your favorite movie of the year, favorite TV show of the year. So go check out the ballot. Go to thesatfirechristian.com and you can make your vote today.
All right.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Goodbye.
So long, folks.